Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It is so awesome to be together this morning to worship the Almighty God, who strengthens us, who inspires us, who loves us, who longs to stoop down and make us great. I also wanted to say, guys, I just wanted to remind us, because we are in New Jersey this morning. Are we fired up? I mean, this isn't old Jersey, this is New Jersey. And it's just incredible. It's so encouraging just to look around the crowd and just see all of you. It is awesome to be together this morning. Guys, springtime starts on Wednesday. Are we excited about that? Thank God. Thank God that we got spring to look forward to. And it is just so encouraging just to be together this morning, to worship together, to pray together, to sing together, to get some hugs, to see all the St. Patty's Day green that's out there in the crowd, and just to encourage one another. I just wanted to say thanks to Ray and Tina and their life team for coming up and sharing with us this morning. I'm really, really excited about what God is doing in our groups and our teams. Let's pray together, and let's really prepare our hearts to learn from God's word this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have heard, and we do know that you are the maker of heaven and earth, that you are mighty, that you are powerful, that you are loving, that you are compassionate, that you are empathetic, that you believe in us. Father, that even though we grow tired and weary, you don't. Father, you don't grow tired and weary. But Father, you look to empower us and to strengthen us and to lift our spirits. Father, we, our spirits are lifted this morning, Father, as we're together just to worship you in New Jersey. Father, it is so inspiring just to come and take out this moment to think about you, to think about Jesus, God, to think about your word and your wisdom for us this morning. Father, give us wisdom this morning as we open up the scriptures. Give us your spirit among us to really lift our spirits, to give us the kind of focus that we need as we try to live our lives best for you and with you and by you. Father, bless our time as we open up the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This morning, my lesson is entitled Seeds of Greatness. And we're going to be talking about spring training. Can the people in the back hear me okay? Genesis said I need to speak right into the mic so that the people in the back can hear me. And so I'm trying to do a good job with that. I'm hoping not kind of blowing out the people here in the front. But spring training. So, you know, on Friday night, we got together with the youth and family gang. The high school students, the teenagers were downstairs. And it was really cool because they got a chance to plan, their night. They had an incredible time. It was awesome having Mark Persing out just inspire the youngins and to inspire the teenagers and to really help and instruct and guide and help out there. It was great. And then we got a chance to meet with the parents upstairs and just got a chance to talk and talk about kind of where we're going, how we're moving forward with our youth and family ministry, what we're really trying to build. It was an awesome time just to listen and ask questions, have some conversations about something that we're really in together. We want to be strong and healthy families. We want to be strong and healthy parents. We want to be Jesus leaders, you know, in our family, in our neighborhoods, and with our kids. And we really want to help our kids to rise up and become Jesus leaders as well. You know, we asked a question, we had some sharing in the beginning about springtime. And I asked the question, well, what's something you love to do in the springtime? Because the springtime is inspiring, isn't it? I think God gave us the springtime just to inspire us. Because if all these, trees that look so dead
and all the ground that looks so brown and so dead with, you know, that there's not any life there, that if God can bring that to life, if he can bring the flowers to life, then sure enough, he can bring us to life. Doesn't matter the kind of winter we've had. Doesn't matter how tough it's been. God can bring us to life just like he brings nature to life in the springtime. And we talked about some of our favorite things to do in the springtime. And of course, grilling came up. And one of the brothers said, I don't stop grilling over the winter. I just get more excited about it, you know, come the springtime. You know, we talk about gardening. We talk about taking walks outside. Larnie and Patty talk about putting the top down and turning the music up in the car. I said, I think I probably heard him going through my neighborhood recently. You know, we talked about baseball. And I was talking, with one of the brothers, and he was saying how he was, he was raised in Maine, and so we gave him a pass with this one. He was raised in Maine, and so he is a Boston Red Sox fan. It's Carlito. I didn't want to mention his name, but... And so he said, everybody knows it, and I'm excited about it, but I'm excited about baseball coming up. You know, one of the conditions of us moving here, of Sue and I moving to New Jersey, she said, I will become all, you know, New Jersey. I'll become a Jersey girl, but there's one thing I will never do. She said, I will never, having grown up in Massachusetts, I will never become a Yankees fan. I'm a Boston Red Sox fan to the death. I said, okay, we're just going to ask the New Jersey church for forgiveness and hope they're inspired by the Lord himself on the cross. But there's so much to look forward to in the springtime. Baseball and spring training and spring cleaning and opening up the windows and smelling just the good smells of the springtime. You know, seeing the tulips come up. We planted some tulips back around Thanksgiving, and they're starting to kind of bust through the soil. You kind of wonder, are these little, you know, balls that we put into the soil gonna come through in the springtime? And sure enough, like clockwork, they're busting through the soil and coming to life. You know, there's all sorts of things about the springtime that inspires us and gets us thinking about getting outdoors. It gets us thinking about doing great things. It gets us thinking about getting in shape spiritually and physically and mentally. And it kind of gives us a new vision of new life and new breath and new days and new opportunities and new songs, you know, new thoughts and God doing something really new and powerful in our life. You know, it says in Isaiah 40, it says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We have hope in a God who brings life and breath and everything else. You know, I wanted to ask you a question. I asked a question a few weeks ago about what's your brave, bold action? What's your BBA? And we talked about Peter getting out of the boat and him, you know, walking on water, but then also getting fearful and starting to sink, and how Jesus kind of reached out to him and helped him. He didn't reject him. He didn't say, bad job, and push him into the water. He grabbed his hand and said, hey, let's continue to do this thing together. But that was a training session for them, an unforgettable training session with Jesus. You know, one of the things I think that Jesus is asking us as we come into the springtime is, what's your springtime Jesus training focus right now? Because there's all sorts of things out there that we could be working on. And a lot of times we're trying to work on 100 things at once, which we know just doesn't really work. We got to kind of focus. What's our training focus right now with Jesus? You know, we've been going through our Jesus leadership training, workbook and journal. And I know for me, it's been great just to kind of keep me in that mindset of training and not just hearing, but really practicing what Jesus teaches me. I know that Jesus wants to train me in life and love and in leadership. But for me, my training right now is really focused on just my walk with God. I really want to get deeper in my walk with God. I see that with Jesus, that he would go through challenging times and he immediately would go up into the hills and he'd spend time with God. You know, or he'd spend all night to be able to make good decisions about things that were important. And it seemed to me that Jesus went through a lot of challenges and a lot of hardship, But he faced it and he found the power to overcome them because he was so connected with God Almighty. And I really want to learn that. I really want to learn to have a greater faith, hope, and love, capacity for those things in my life because I'm really walking closely with God and really seeking him first. But you know, if we're going to have brave, bold actions, if we're going to have those massive dreams and goals that God puts in our heart, we are going to have those times where it kind of steps out and we step out of the boat and onto the water. It's going to kind of feel magical because God's going to be doing incredible miracles among us. But what we learn, though, is if we're really going to not only accomplish those things, but become the men and women who can sustain those things, then we've got to get into training. We've got to get into daily Jesus training in heart, soul, mind, and body, in faith, hope, and love, so that we can take on this life and not just kind of, you know, kind of make it through, but we can really soar and thrive and flourish. Look over in John chapter 5. Because Jesus addresses this, and it's one of those chapters of the Bible. You got to go back and read it because Jesus is he's intense. And he's speaking specifically to people. And he's speaking specifically and intently to religious people. Which is so easy for us to become religious people, isn't it? I see that in my own life. It's so easy for me to kind of, you know, just be kind of a church attender. You know, or someone who, you know, kind of gets his act cleaned up on the outside but isn't really dealing with the inside. And it's so important for us to stay in and engage in the hard things and the difficult things of Jesus training because that's where the life is. And none of us want to be kind of a, you know, sort of a, you know, a whitewashed wall, right, with dead men's bones on the inside. We want to be alive from the very inside of us. You know, the world doesn't value the inside very much. The world really values and puts so much of the attention on the outside. What title we have, what clothes we wear, how we look, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. But what Jesus says is, no, it's not about the outside. In fact, he says, if you will clean the inside of the cup, the outside will be clean also. It's like the outside is almost like self-cleaning. If you put the focus on the inside, who you are in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, who you are, that when you clean that and when that becomes a place of health and integrity, that the outside is clean too. The outside glows. You know, Sue likes to say, when we're growing, we're glowing. And it's so true. Make the tree good, and the fruit takes care of itself. But if the tree is sick, then the fruit also is affected. And so Jesus puts the focus on the inside. He puts the focus on life. Look here at some verses in verse 19, for example. Jesus says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now here's the thing about this passage. Jesus also was in training. Jesus wasn't just sort of the master poobah who was saying, you guys do everything. Jesus himself modeled it. He modeled it in his relationship with God. Listen to what he says. He said, the Son, even as cool and as powerful and as mighty as he was, as capable that he was, he said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. And so as his Father would do his thing, Jesus would follow right in his footsteps. And it wasn't a burden to Jesus. Jesus felt so honored. He's like, that's my dad. That's my Father. I get to do it just like him. I get to go through life with him. And he models for us what an apprenticeship, what a father-son, what a father-daughter, what a training relationship on a heart level looks like for us. Do we have that spirit with God? That I can do nothing on my own. I really need God. I really need Jesus' help. Because otherwise we default so easily back to our sinful nature, don't we? We're doing well for a little while, and then we start giving into our fears. We start giving into our indulgences. We start giving into sort of the comfortable way of life. And we got to go back to God and say, I need you so badly. And I'm going to do it just the way that you teach me. I'm going to trust you. and I'm going to entrust myself to you. And that's how Jesus was. You know, look a little bit further down in verse 21. He says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to those he is pleased to give it." You know, we talked last week about how in John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." And we talked about, you know, how life maybe could stand for, you know, for love and integrity and faith and eternity. That those were the things that we see in Jesus. As we see an extremely loving person. We see a man of integrity where all the parts are really working together according to God's design. We see a man of great faith. He believed. He was bold. We see a man of eternity who wasn't just sort of talking about a fad or something to do for today. His life, his wisdom was based on eternity. And his teachings take us into eternal life. That we flourish not just for now, but eternally. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, if you want to have life, if you want to know how to live life well, he says, then come to me and learn from me how to live life. Look in verse 24. He says, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Wow, isn't that what we're looking for? There's so much death out there. There's so much disconnect. There's so much hurt and scarring. And the world says, hey, we're doing it right. Look. But when you kind of take back the curtain, it's just death. And Jesus is saying, I want to lead us back to God and the original way to do it. With me is life. Come with me, and I'll show you the way of life. Look in verse 39. This is an interesting one. He says, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Isn't that crazy? Sometimes we go to the Bible, and we get a lot of knowledge about God. And we get a lot of knowledge about Jesus and about spiritual things. But the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so it's so important that we're not just hearing the words, but we're doing like Jesus said, and we're putting them into practice. We're training every single day with that hope and that dream that we are going to grow because we're doing it God's way. Jesus was rebuking the religious. He's saying, you guys puff yourselves up with knowledge. You guys parade around. You guys are all sort of prideful about all that you know, but you're not doing it. That's why you're dead on the inside. He said, you need to come to me, not criticize me and judge me and stand afar and plot how you're going to take me down, but listen to me and learn from me. Because I will give you eternal life. Look over in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. You know, Jesus was a tough dude. Jesus didn't back down to anybody. Jesus was a tender man on the inside. He loved deeply. He was gentle. He was humble in heart. But he was also a force to be reckoned with. And he's saying, hey, yeah, life is hard. Life is difficult. And I'm living it right there next to you. But I can show you the way to overcome. I can show you the way to flourish even in difficult times. But we got to do this thing together. Life is a full contact sport. And if we're going to make it through, and if we're going to change the world, and if we're going to see those great dreams happen, which they can, then we got to do this thing together. We got to strap in together. We got to yoke up together. We're going to learn some things, and we're going to change this world together and do great things together. I wanted to talk briefly through two training sessions that Jesus had in Mark chapter 9. One went great. It was kind of like a textbook training session. It was like inspiring. The whole thing came together. It was amazing. And the other one just kind of blew up. Everything went wrong. But Jesus turned it into an opportunity to really teach some powerful things. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. And I want you to kind of think of yourself kind of going through this. So Mark chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. So I want you to picture this. You are Peter, James, or John. And you're going with Jesus, and you've been with them for a while, and you're going up on the mountain. And it's just you, and it's kind of a special training session. It's for those kind of who want some intensive training, and they're going to hang together. This is going to really be fun. We get some hang time with Jesus. We get some hiking time with Jesus. And so you're with him, and you're with Peter, and you're with James, and you're with John, and you're able to experience this together with them. It says he led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. And there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. This is a pretty epic training session right here. Jesus is getting transfigured, and you're like, man, that's pretty cool. I hadn't seen that before. This is amazing. And then Moses and Elijah show up, and like, wow, we're hanging with the greats. We're hanging with the greats. And they may have even been thinking, maybe we are kind of like included in one as one of the greats. Jesus kind of brought us along. Not only are we hanging out with him, now we're hanging out with Moses. We're hanging out with Elijah. And they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. It's kind of like when you kind of realize where you are. You're like, I don't even know what to say. And Peter didn't know what to say. Verse 2, in verse 7, then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. So they had a keynote speaker at this seminar. And it was God himself. They had God in the lineup. And God said, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words in his lesson. He said, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. You know, if we were on that mountain, those are the 10 words we would have heard. Those are the 10 words that God is trying to get through to this generation. The 10 words that God is trying to get through to the generation here and every generation since. He's like, this guy is legit. This guy is exactly who he says he is. This guy has my recommendation. This is Jesus. He's my son. Here's the thing. Listen to him. We all need to learn from him. He's got stuff for every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you're a CEO or if you're just getting started in the business world. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. Doesn't matter if you're just trying to figure out your way forward financially. We need Jesus. Doesn't matter what race. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. We need Jesus. And God is saying, listen to him. Because in him is life. And that life was the light of men. So look down at verse 14. That's one training session. That went pretty well, didn't it? That's pretty easy. It's like, all right. Good training session today, guys. Let's head down from the mountain. So they head down the mountain, verse 14. And when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. And the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now, this is a good sign, and it's also maybe a bad sign. Because the guys are trying to get things going down in the valley. And we're going to learn in a moment that they brought this man brought his son to Jesus, son to the guys, and he really needed some help. Things weren't going great. And so when they saw Jesus, they're like, oh, yeah, guys, you guys are pretty good. But there's Jesus. And I love it because it says they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. You know, it's kind of cool because around Jesus, there's words like they were delighted in what he said. They were amazed by what he said. They were, you know, they're filled with wonder about who he was and what he did and what he taught. And in verse 16, Jesus asked the question, what are you arguing with them about, he asked. He said, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought to you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. See, Jesus had given them the power, and Jesus had given them the authority. He had modeled for them how to live a life that was powerful, was really going to be able to affect people, that was really going to be able to help people that came to them for help. But they weren't able to do it. They weren't able to step up to this challenge. And so Jesus said in verse 19, he says, O unbelieving generation, Jesus answered, replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So Jesus comes from the mountaintop, comes down to the valley, and he's like, wow, there's still some work to be done. There's still some training to be done. And these guys have got to grow. Because they are able, but they're, for some reason, and we're going to find out here in a moment why, but they weren't able to really come through on this particular assignment. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves in that position where we have great aspirations and we have great desires, and we're inspired to step out of the boat, and we set big goals, but then we kind of get a few steps into it, and sometimes it doesn't quite turn out the way that we expect. You know, when Sue and I moved to Boston a few years back, we were there, we were having a great time, but I was 20 pounds overweight when I got to Boston. I quickly gained another 20 pounds. And I found myself, you know, not being able to sleep very well. I found myself, having like heartburn and that kind of stuff. And I had this really great idea about the heartburn. I started at night, when I started kind of feeling the heartburn, I had what I called the ice cream sandwich diet. And what I would do is I had this gallon of whole milk in the fridge, and I had this box of ice cream sandwiches in the freezer. And so I would just go over there and I would be feeling kind of, you know, like unhealthy. And so I go, okay, you know, the whole milk, that tastes pretty good going down. I'd eat a couple of ice cream sandwiches. And for some reason, I thought this was really, really a good idea. And I think it was because I felt better for a minute. And I felt like, okay, there's no more heartburn. But then the heartburn would come back in like, you know, 20 or 30 seconds. And so I would need another ice cream sandwich. And so it's kind of my ice cream sandwich solution to health. You can probably Google it. There's probably nothing there. It's probably because it's so dumb. But it wasn't working in my life either. And so, you know, I had gained a lot of weight. I was getting unhealthy because I was kind of turning to this, you know, this kind of approach to my problems that wasn't really working. And so what I did is I was turning 50 the following year. And so I said, I got to get my act together. It's sort of a trajectory thing here I got to pay attention to. And I noticed in most of our lives, you know, we kind of hit that place where our life kind of goes on an upward trajectory, or we start giving into sort of the ice cream sandwich mentality. And it takes us in the other direction. I was like, okay, first thing I got to do is I got to repent of what I'm eating. And repentance is often about stopping some stuff and starting other stuff, right? So the first thing I signed up for this sprint triathlon, which is going to take place in about 6 months from then. And so I signed up for this sprint triathlon, and I stopped eating ice cream sandwiches. I didn't even eat the last few in the box. I just threw out the ice cream sandwiches that were in the box, in the freezer, and it was all I could do just to take them out to the dumpster out back behind our apartment complex and throw them out. So I dealt with that. And then I signed up for the triathlon. And then I went over to the pool to start swimming and start working out. And I said, the only thing I'm going to do is just start sweating every day. And I'm going to start swimming, you know, regularly. I got in the pool to try to swim some laps. And, you know, Sue and Mackenzie are both very accomplished swimmers. They're very easy on me. They're very gentle with me. They didn't try to overcoach me. They just kind of let me go. But sure enough, about halfway down the first lap, I stopped because I couldn't swim even a length of the pool. That's where I was at health-wise. And it's like, okay, here we go. let's start to deal with this. And I had the good thing was I had the fear of the triathlon deep down in my soul. I had the fear of being in open seawater drowning. And I thought, I got to make it through this. And so I was running, I was biking, I was working on my swimming. And, you know, I just kind of started out with little baby steps just to try, you know, and even in the pool, I would go half the way swimming, I go half the way on my back. And I'm like, this looks so bad. But anyway, I just felt stupid in the pool. And so I'm on my back, you know, half the way, and I go back and swim. But sure enough, you know, eventually I could swim a length, and eventually I could swim a lap. You know, in the sprint triathlon, you swim like a quarter of a mile to a third of a mile. That was a long way off. But I thought if I could just keep making progress, then I'm going to get there. Well, the cool thing is, over that 6 months, through this kind of just baby steps mentality, I was able to lose 45 pounds and complete my first sprint triathlon. That was really good for me. But it taught me something about training. It taught me something that, you know, oftentimes I start out with great aspirations, but then I get in the pool and I get discouraged. Or I start out with great aspirations, but then, you know, the second day in, I still have heartburn. I still want to turn to the ice cream sandwiches and you know, these little kind of dumb solutions that I've come up with. And I think that's kind of how it is with us, is that we think that just by setting a big goal, which is great, and by having good intentions, that we're going to get there. But oftentimes we take shortcuts when it comes to the hard, everyday work that we've got to do to accomplish our dreams and accomplish our goals. Well, it seems like to me that that's where these guys were. And Jesus is talking to them about it. You guys aren't doing the hard work of believing. You guys aren't doing the hard work of connecting to the power source. You're unbelieving. You're faithless. And even Jesus here got a little bit ticked off. And sometimes coaches get a little ticked off, don't they? They're looking at us going, hey, I've been with you, man. We've been working on this. And he's saying to them, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And I think it probably rattled the guys a little bit because they kind of took for granted what Jesus brought to their life because they were doing pretty good. So here they hit a little obstacle, and Jesus uses this as a training opportunity for them to see how it was done and to see what he did. And so in verse 20, it says, they brought him. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It is also often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. What does Jesus say? If you can. Has everybody lost their mind around here? If you can, what have we been talking about? There's a belief thing happening here. There's a faith issue that's going on. He says, if you can. He says, everything's possible for him who believes. Immediately, a boy's father exclaimed. This is such a great prayer. He says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Wow. You know, these were eyewitness accounts of things that these people who saw this never forgot. Jesus doing his thing. Jesus being the believing, faithful, loving, hopeful man that he was and leader that he was. He helped this man out. It changed his life. And I love how even in that he has compassion on this boy. He takes him by the hand and he lifts him to his feet and he stood up. He empowered this young man. He empowered this dad. He gave the boy back to his dad and he taught a valuable lesson to the bros. And all those who are watching, he says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, and I think a little bit sheepishly, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. You know, in Matthew chapter 17, he says, it's because you have so little faith. You know, I think so often we try to go through the Christian life. We kind of try to white knuckle righteousness. We try to kind of get through and do the great deeds of faith without a connection to the faith giver, without a dynamic training relationship with Jesus who teaches us how to do it. If you look even just for a page at Jesus' life, he was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who was connected to God and faithfully. God was the power source for him. He was like Jeremiah 17, where he would send out his roots by the stream. So he didn't fear when heat came. His leaves were always green. He had no worries in a year of drought and never failed to bear fruit. But obviously the guys were trying to do the outward things, but they weren't doing the hard work of walking closely with God. And so they became unbelieving. They became faithless. They became fearful. There's four things I think that we can learn from this. 4 points that spell out grow. The first one is go. The second point is repent. The third point is open up. And the fourth point is wonder. We got to go to Jesus. We got to go with Jesus. We got to go to God. We got to go with God. We don't have to do this alone. We can't do it alone. Let's go to Jesus. Let's repent of unbelief. Let's repent of our unbelieving lifestyles where we depend so much on ourselves and so much on the ice cream sandwich ridiculousness out there. And we don't go to Jesus to find true wisdom and understanding of how to live. We got to repent. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the good news. Repent of our unbelief. Repent of our negativity. Repent of our cynicism. Repent of our pride. As if somehow we can do this on our own. No, you can't, man. You're not strong enough. You need training in life and love and leadership. And Jesus offers it to all of us. It's an open enrollment. Any one of us can go and get the training we need from the master of life. Third point, open up. So easy to get hard-hearted. It's so easy to get hard-spirited, hard-minded, where we're not open to the things. We're not vulnerable to the hard teachings. So when Jesus is talking to us and saying, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with this? And he's rebuking us. He's getting strong with us. He's looking us in the eye, and he's talking to us, yes, with gentleness and humility, but with focus, and he's speaking directly to you. How do you respond? Are you opening up? Are you letting Jesus influence in you? Are you humble towards what he's talking to you about? Are you hearing? Are you putting his words into practice? That's where the life is. Jesus often talks to the religious, and he says, you hear my words, but you don't practice them. You worship God in vain. Your teachings are just rules taught by men. That's why they're so worthless. That's why they're so powerless. We got to open up. And then, fourthly, is wonder. Don't worry. Jesus got this. I love it where it just says, they were overwhelmed with wonder. That's a great way to live. And when we're around Jesus, you know, he steps in sometimes and does the heavy lifting for us. And then he just turns around and teaches us and helps us and says, remember this, because it's going to come in useful sometime. And he wants us to live with wonder. He doesn't want us to live with worry. He wants us to live with a sense of adventure and a sense of, boy, I get to do this. Life is good. We get to go through this and run through life because we're doing it well. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We get to be trained by the Master. Well, let's take advantage of that every chance we get. And so right now what we're going to do is we're going to just take some time to reflect on him. who he is. We're going to get a chance to hope in the Lord and have our strength renewed. We're going to take the bread, which represents the body of Christ. We're going to take the juice that represents the bread of the blood of Christ. And we're going to remember what he did for us, how he's laid down our life for us, how he believes in us, how he's longing for us, how he's a faithful trainer. So that this spring, in our training, with those seeds of greatness that are inside of each one of us, they're going to bloom, they're going to bust through that cold soil, and they're going to blossom into something greater than ever because we do it with him. Amen? Let's pray to God. Let's enjoy communion. If you do need a communion cup, then go ahead and raise your hand after the prayer, and those will be given to you. But let's pray together, and let's think about Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus. Father, we know that sometimes we stumble and we fall. Sometimes we're tasked with something and we just don't come through. And Father, for that we are sorry. But we also, Father, want to repent. Father, we do believe. Help us to overcome our unbelief. Help us to put our hope in you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to know you. Help us to engage with our training with the one who gave his body and his blood for us. Even through the tough times and even through the difficult times. Father, thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.